Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, Nature of the Enjoyer and Consciousness, text number 17. Avibhaktam Chabhuteshu. Vibhaktam Iva Chastitam. Uddhavatri Chaktajkeyam. Krishnu Pravishnu Cha Avibhaktam. Without the vision Cha also Bhuteshu and all living beings Vibhaktam divided Eva as if Cha also Sthitam, situated. Bhutapuratri, the maintainer of all living entities. Cha, also. Tat, that. Yayam, to be understood. Krishishnu, devouring. Pravishnu, developing. Cha, also, translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although the Supersoul appears to be divided among all beings, He is never divided. He is situated as one. Although He is a maintainer of all living of every living entity, it is to be understood that He devours and develops all. Purport. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart as a Supersoul. Does this mean that He has become divided? No, actually He is one. The example is given of the sun. The sun at the meridian is situated in its place. But if one goes for 5,000 miles in all directions and asks, where is the sun? Everyone will say that it's shining on his head. In the Vedic literature, this example is given to show that although He is undivided, He is situated as if divided. It is also said in the Vedic literature that one Vishnu is present everywhere by His omnipotence, just as the sun appears in many places to many persons. And the Supreme Lord, although the maintainer of every living entity, devours everything at the time of annihilation. This was confirmed in the 11th chapter when the Lord said that He had come to devour all the warriors assembled at Kurukshetra. He is also mentioned that in the form of time, He devours also. He is the annihilator, the killer of all. When there is creation, He develops all from their original state. At the time of annihilation, He devours them. The Vedic hymns confirm that He is the origin of all living entities and the rest of all. After creation, everything rests in His omnipotence, and after annihilation, everything again returns to Him, to rest in Him. These are the confirmations of Vedic hymns. Itova imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat pravant yabhi sam vishanti yad brahmatad Viji Gyasva Shasva, the Taittiriya Upanishad 3.1. So the text again. Avibhaktam Chabhuteshu Vibhaktam Ivachastitam Bhutabharatri Tatajgeyam Krishisnu Pravishnucha. Although the Supersoul appears to be divided among all beings, He is never divided. He is situated as one, although He is the maintainer of every living entity, so He understood that He devours and develops all. Bhagavad Gita is giving us a vision of reality. And Maya is giving us a vision of illusion. So it's up to us. Either we listen to Maya, who's always talking to us. She tells us, don't listen to Bhagavad Gita. Stay in my clutches and I can beat you. Or we can listen to Krishna, and Krishna gives us very simple explanation of reality. beginning with the first chapter, second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Deno smindita dehe kamaram yovanam jara tata dahantara praptir diryas tatra namuyati. Very simply, Krishna says that our bodies are changing. Now, everyone has the experience that they have a different body than they had when they were 5 years old. And they'll have a different body tomorrow, but it becomes more evident after so many years, say 5 years from now, we'll certainly notice we have a different body. But the person who's noticing the changings of the body is always the same person. That means we're not changing, what's changing is the body. The only problem is that we're, by the power of illusion, we're thinking we're this body. Although we actually have nothing to do with it. Because even after the end of this body, we still exist. So we're not depending on the body. But right now, or the mind, or the intelligence, or the false ego. But right now, the fact that we're not aware of ourselves, we don't know how to work, how to act as ourselves. Until we start finding out that our actual capacity is the capacity to desire. Now here in the material world, our desire doesn't necessarily always get filled. Because we may desire, like I may desire to fly around this room right now, and I might flap my arms, because I saw birds do something similar, I may try to fly, but I'm not going to fly very easily. Because I don't have the appropriate body that allows me to fly, or if there's some way of flying in this human form of life, I don't know how to do it. So right now I'm dependent on this body. I can't see unless I see through these eyes. I can't hear unless I hear through these ears. I can't taste unless I taste with this tongue. But that doesn't mean that I'm this body. I'm just dependent on the body at the present time. Just like if you're in an airplane, that normally you can't fly, you can't run 700 kilometers an hour. But if you're in the airplane, then whether you like it or not, if the airplane's in the sky, then you're going to be flying at 700 miles an hour. Now, generally people don't open the door and jump out. So you're stuck traveling at that speed in the airplane. And wherever it's going, you're going to go to that destination. You don't really have much of a choice. Unless you open the cabin door and jump out. Well, that's not considered very auspicious. Now, when you're in the airplane, although it's going to go to a certain destination, still you have a choice what to do while you're in the airplane. You can go to sleep, you can watch the movie, you can read a book. There's so many choices you have while you're in the airplane, although your destination is more or less determined. So similarly, we're in this body, it has a certain destination, but we do have some free choices that we can make while we're in this body, and that's made by our desire. Just like, unless I desire, generally speaking, most people move by the desire. It's not my hand's trying to go up. And it's, no, when I desire to move my hand up, generally speaking, there's some kind of activity. There's something happening that allows me to move my hand up. Now, if my hand was paralyzed, I couldn't do it. But more or less, because it's not paralyzed, I desire to do it. And then more or less, something happens and it does it. Now, I can just think within my mind, I desire to move my hand down, but I don't really want to move my hand down, so it doesn't move down. But now I desire to move my hand down, really. And then it goes down. So there's something going on. I may not be 100% clear what's happening. In other words, the original premise is that I'm not this body. And that the body's changing all the time. And I may not want it to change. Does anyone think, today I'm 25 years old, and tomorrow I don't want to be 26. I don't want to be one day older. I don't want to be a second older. Can anyone stop their body for a moment to change? Okay, we can't stop the whole body. What about one atom in the body? Can we stop her from changing? Do we even know if there is an atom? I mean, they tell us there's an atom, but has anyone ever seen an atom in the body? Or what the body's made out of? About one cell in the body. Can we say, my dear cells, I know that you don't want to get old and I don't want you to get old. Can we make a deal? Maybe for a few days you can stay the same. First of all, I don't think the cells in our body understand our language so easily. But even if they did, they have no choice because they're also changing. They're not saying, I want to grow old, I want to go old. And they grow old. Every cell in our body is changing all the time. So there's some other energy that's beyond us that's changing everything. That's called time. So although people say they don't believe in God, so God means the controller. Now, one person we can eliminate being the controller in this world is ourselves. Because we can't even control one atom or even one cell. What can we control? What is our big control in the material world? I think now I'm desiring to move my hand up and it moves up. But if my hand is paralyzed, I can't do it. Or if I want to right now move my toe up to touch my ear, I can't do it. I mean, so we have a very limited weak desire, and sometimes our desires are fulfilled, but some desires will never be fulfilled. I don't want my body to change at all right now. Stop! You don't listen to me. I told you to stop changing. But there is time changing everything. Not only our own little bodies, but the whole universe is changing under time. And nothing is getting younger. It's all going one direction. Everything gets older. So that time, whether we recognize time as a person or under personal control, time is supreme in this world we're living in. We can't influence time. We don't wake up in the morning and look at our internet connection and find out that time grew so old it died. There's going to be a funeral tomorrow for time, and nothing's going to change anymore. No, time never changes. Everything, time changes everything, but it never changes itself. So time is transcendental. It's supreme. It's eternal in this world. And everything else is, all the forms that the material nature takes are temporary, but we ourselves, the souls in this body, we're actually not affected by time. Time influences everything that we're conscious of, except for ourselves. So time is supreme, but time is not acting arbitrarily. There is a system behind time. As I said, time doesn't reverse itself, although we'd like it to. But we never hear that time made everything younger. And yet time has great intelligence because time is changing everything, making the little baby grow up so it becomes a boy, and from a boy to youth to old age. And then at a certain time, at old age, we have to leave the body and we get another body. Because otherwise, how do we get this body? If we're eternal, we enter into this body, it keeps on changing, so at the time of death, we don't change, so where do we go? So that's the question to ask. And how do we know where to go now, what to do now? So that means that let's put it this way. In the material universe that we're observing, we can see that there's intelligence. For instance, the sun rises at a certain time, and the sun sets at a certain time. The scientists can tell us where the sun is going to be in 100 years from now. Now, we don't know where we're going to be tomorrow. because we're not so much conscious of how to organize things. But the sun, so big, so powerful, the scientists tell us exactly where it's going to be in 100 years from now. So that means the sun is working with great intelligence, great precision, great system. Even a watch which is trying to measure the movements of the sun are made by intelligent people. We don't think that the watch came about by accident or moving by accident. The watch which is made to be precise is made by the most intelligent people to make an instrument which is the most precise possible. And yet the sun, which is infinitely greater than this watch and infinitely more precise, how can we claim it wasn't made by an intelligent person to make it precise? So that all-pervading intelligence, who's also in our heart, because otherwise, if he was able to make the sun so precise, then he must be giving us the intelligence how to make something precise also, like a watch. He's also giving the ant the intelligence to find out where sugar is. Therefore, there is someone speaking to us just like a father speaks to his son, or a teacher teaches his student. So there is a super soul within everyone's heart giving us remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So sometimes he's giving all of the entities remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness, but to different degrees. So the ant also has intelligence, same intelligence we have, but just a different kind of intelligence and to some different degree. But it's being supplied, that intelligence. Just like if we want, we can compete with the ant to try to find out the sugar in the kitchen. But the ant is more empowered than we are to find it out. It's more equipped. But we are also equipped, but just not to the same degree. Now we want to quote a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Most of us are more equipped than an ant. We have more intelligence for that activity. So the ant has more intelligence for some activities, and we have more intelligence for other activities. But intelligence is being supplied to every living entity to fulfill its desire. Now the ant has a body where it would like to find sugar, because when it gets sugar, it gets intoxicated. That's why it runs around in a circle all the time. And it doesn't need a whole lot of sugar. If you give it 1 cube of sugar, it's like Mount Everest. It's enough, it's more or less, it's enough for his lifetime, practically, or at least a few weeks. He can invite his whole family for the feast. And he has the intelligence how to eat the sugar, and when he eats the sugar, he gets intoxicated, and he feels good. So even the ant is eating sugar to feel good. So Krishna is giving him the intelligence. You have a body. If you eat sugar, you're going to get high. And that's why you eat sugar. Now, Krishna is also giving us intelligence. We're looking for something similar to sugar to make ourselves happy. And Krishna is giving us the intelligence. So the conclusion is that not only we're eternal, not only there's a God, not only there's something beyond us that's controlling the universe, but there's an intelligent person behind it who's giving everyone remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness according to what we desire and what we deserve. Now, how do we know what we deserve? We can know what we desire, but all we do is have to look in the mirror and we can see what kind of body we have. Now, a bird, when it desires to fly, it flies. If it's a healthy bird, it flies, because it has the body which is suitable for flying, and therefore there's a reciprocation between the soul's desire in the body of a bird, the super soul in the body, so the bird, Krishna gives the bird intelligence how to fly, because it has a suitable body. Now, we want to run, Krishna will give us the intelligence how to run, because we have a suitable body for running. But we're depending upon Krishna for knowledge and also for remembrance. Because we may try to remember something, we can't remember it. And then suddenly the remembrance appears. And we may try to forget something, and we can't forget it. And then suddenly we forget it. We can't remember what we were trying to forget. And then we remember it again, we can't forget it. So we're not 100% in control around here. But there is someone who's controlling everyone equally like that. That everyone has the power of remembrance. Everyone has the power of forgetfulness. And everyone has knowledge to different degrees. Every living entity. And everyone is the soul receiving this knowledge. So it's coming from an intelligent person. Because unless he was conscious, how could he give us who are conscious this intelligence? So that's indication of the super soul. Now the reason why we can't understand it is because we don't want to understand it. It would spoil our material life. If we actually accepted that there's a super soul, he'd spoil the party. All our future hopes for becoming whatever we want to become would be spoiled. If we actually accepted the super soul, then we'd have to surrender to him. But that's not why anyone came to the material world, is to surrender to the super soul, to surrender to God. Everyone came to become God. So to the extent that we're willing to accept, then Krishna reveals this knowledge to us. And to the extent that we want to forget it, then Krishna helps us forget it. So it doesn't make any sense to us whatsoever. Therefore, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, what is night for all sentient beings is the time of awakening for the self-control. And what is time of awakening for the self-control is the night for all sentient beings. So that one who wants to understand this knowledge, then Krishna gradually helps. And one who wants to forget this knowledge, then Krishna also helps. Now, if there is an all-pervading supreme person who's helping everyone, now we shouldn't think that if there is a supreme person, his only duty is to give the living entities their desires according to what they deserve. That according to the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavad Gita, this supreme person who has all knowledge, he knows everyone, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, is also, he has a different universe that he lives in with all the liberated eternal souls, and there he's the all-attractive supreme person, which is described as Krishna. Now it's hard enough to understand we're eternal. It's even a little harder to understand the super soul. It's not hard, it's just that we don't like to accept it. Oh, it's called conditioning. And it's most difficult to understand that God could be a person. That we don't mind that there's some force controlling the universe, or that, you know, the force may, you know, is in controlling all living entities and everything. We don't like the fact that he's a person, because we think we're the person, and even if we're a tiny person, we're the supreme person. As far as we go, we're the best person in the whole universe. Doesn't matter who we are, what we're doing, we're still the best. Even an ant is thinking, I'm the best. Everyone's thinking they're the best. Out of all the ants, I'm special, and ants are special by themselves. So I'm the most special. But by this process of hearing, gradually we may change our understanding, and then we may question, you know, if I'm actually eternal soul, maybe, so why am I in this position? Who is this person who's controlling everything? Why is he doing it? Who is this supreme person? Then we might become a little curious. And then we might even become interested in realizing these things ourselves if we follow the process. But in any case, I'm going to stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Very nice lecture. You elaborate very nice. And I would like also to understand in such a way. My question is regarding to the process, because our process is to find the absolute truth. But we can see that here in this material world there is a duality, and also there is a duality in the process, like we are under the yoga maya or maha maya. So how to find absolute truth in this duality, which is also the process?
This is surrender to Krishna.
Yes, yes. I mean,
then Krishna will give you then he'll reveal things. We don't do it ourselves. We have no power to realize anything. It has to be supplied to us by Krishna. He has to give us the realization. But we have the power to desire to fulfill Krishna's desires. And when Krishna sees that we're actually trying to please him, trying to follow him, then he helps us by revealing this knowledge to us. He's just looking to see our sincerity, to see if we really want to become Krishna conscious, or we're just pretending we want to become Krishna conscious.
But then what happened to me is that I get too much into the seva, and this is also not good for
me.
That's
right. Seva means the proper consciousness. It doesn't just mean the activity. It means the proper consciousness. Bhakti imam abhijananti yavanyashasmi tatvada. Only by devotional service. So it has to be done with devotion, with love. Otherwise it's incomplete. And therefore, the real experience will also be incomplete. Krishna is not just looking for what we're doing. He's looking for how we're doing it, what type of mood we're doing it. Unless it's in the mood of devotion, then it must be partially, at least, in the mode of ignorance.
Then, for me, it's better not to do so much working seva and more to read and try to understand.
Probably, yes. Good.
Thank you. So, yeah, now I have to say to...
Not only read, but there's different levels of reading. We should read in order to see what's being said. Now we just keep on reading. Doesn't make any sense. I should be working. Now we have to read to try to see what's being said. See it through the proper perspective. And then we have to apply it within our service, whatever service we're doing. So we do Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Mam Anusmara Yujacha Mayarpita Manobudira Mame Vaishatya Samshaya. Therefore, Arjuna, you should think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time you should follow your prescribed duty of fighting. With your mind and intelligence fixed in me and everything engaged in me, you should attain to me without doubt. So we're trying to hear so we can develop the intelligence to see things properly, so we can act properly. So we keep on reading, we don't see things properly, then we'll never act properly. So we're not just trying to read for the sake of reading. We're trying to read for the sake of seeing things properly so we can act properly.
Yeah, I hope Temple Commander will hear also this and he'll not give me so much working seva, more the reading.
Yes,
seva.
Pray to Krishna.
Yes, I will. But Tupancha Tatva, they are my shelter. Hare Krishna, thank you, Gurudev. You're so nice.
Anything else? Okay. Hvala, Granthara, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai.